Coming up after the news at 9 o'clock, Sergeant Clyde Boatwright will join us, the president of the State Police Union. We'll talk with him about a whole bunch of different stuff, including the anti-police movement and how hard it is to try and find new cops today. That's coming up at 9:07.
Follow C4 on Twitter at C4 Show and Brian at Brian Neiman. You're listening to the C4 and Brian Neiman podcast.
You know, we just mentioned earlier in the show, Brian, the policies of certain cities across the country in the aftermath of the murder of George Floyd have led to a shrinkage in police departments, which has played a large role, many people believe, in the rise in violent crime we've seen across the country. Seattle, most recently, having an additional 150 officers leave the force. If they have cut and shrunk their budget, this whole dismantle, defund, reimagine, whatever you want to call it. Right here in Baltimore, just the other day, in a tweet discussion with Detective Bob Cherry, former president of the Fraternal Order of Police in Baltimore City, Baltimore City Councilman Ryan Dorsey, we've come to know the good councilman and his back and forth and what he says. He actually talked in this tweet about dismantling, defunding, getting rid of, just eliminating the police department, to which Detective Cherry responded to him, "You're not serious about it. I know you're not serious about that." He said, "No, you are incorrect. I believe it. Entirely get rid of the police department." Joining us right now to talk about this climate and where we're in right now is the president of the Maryland Fraternal Order of Police, Sergeant Clyde Boatwright, many time guest on our show. Good morning, Sergeant.
Hey, Sergeant.
Good morning, C4. Good morning, Brian. Thanks for having me on your show.
I started with that, Sergeant Clyde Boatwright, because I also saw you talking nationally about where we are in trying to retain, recruit officers to be in police departments. But when you have attitudes from elected officials, whether it's Seattle, Washington, or Baltimore, Maryland, it's hard, isn't it, to keep the ranks up?
Yeah, because what we're seeing is our elected officials are using the police reform movement, the defund movement, the reimagine movement. They're using it as a political football to advance their careers. They're not talking with statistics that would support their argument. It's just rhetoric. And they have a small group of people that are supporting that and echoing the same sentiments, when clearly our communities are seeing high levels of violence and our communities are actually calling for more police.
Well, that's what I was going to get to you at. Like, what do you think the reality is? What do people want when it comes to policing in this country, in this area?
Well, it's clear to me, people want police officers to be in their communities, to be visible, to be seen, and to take proactive action. What people do not want to see is abusive police officers. And as a 21-year law enforcement veteran, I can agree with the sentiments of our communities. We don't want to see police officers abusing their power. However, there should be constitutional policing, and I think that there's a way to get there without all of these radical ideas that we're now starting to see.
Sergeant Clyde Boatwright is on board once again, the president of the Maryland Fraternal Order of Police. So how do you combat this? Because, I mean, you know, Councilman Dorsey is consistent in his attitude towards law enforcement. But as you said, there are a lot of people that retweet him and get on social media and arrested. So how do you fight this kind of this prevailing notion that basically the police are the problem as opposed to what's going on right now, Sergeant?
Well, I would ask any elected official to take a drive around their community, and with the number of balloons and candles and teddy bears and all hanging up in these communities and the memorials, so to speak, to see that we're losing a problem with violent crime and we need to abandon the way that we're thinking. I think, you know, these comments don't help anyone. It's no different than, you know, we heard for 4 years of the former president of the United States how people did not like his Twitter banter. And people don't like this either from these elected officials who are using this as a weapon.
All right. So today, if you're a police officer and you've got to deal with a lot of different stuff that is out there on a regular basis, how difficult is it to do the job with this sentiment hanging over you?
Well, right now, if you make an arrest that looks questionable, when I say looks questionable, meaning if you're trying to get someone in the custody and someone has a cell phone in your face and you're telling them to back up, you're trying to put the detainee in cuffs, and someone feels as though that you were too excessive in the attempt to bring that person into custody, then you're now subject to being criminally charged and indicted yourself. Whereas, you know, in years past, you know, people would look at it that the police officer had the ability to use the necessary force to effect the arrest. That was the standard. But what we're now doing is we're moving the goalposts and saying that the standard for use of force, it should be necessary and proportional. And I don't know what necessary and proportional means, and I've been doing this for 21 years.
Sergeant Clyde Boatwright, you know, on top of, you know, the issues related to police reform or whatever you want to call it, that's, you know, hurting recruitment, it's the other issue, too, of getting more minorities on board. I saw you discussing this on Fox News in terms of trying to recruit African-American officers, because we keep talking about making the departments more diverse and type of thing. But the atmosphere we're in, it doesn't, you know, it's not comfortable for a lot of young people, particularly African-American, to want to join when they see this demonizing going on, right?
Sure. And you know, the one thing when I reach out to young people and I try to encourage them to get into law enforcement, you know, the first thing they say is, I don't want to be associated with a bunch of people that, you know, are doing wrong to the community. And I'm like, whoa, that's not the mindset of a police officer. You want to be the change that you want to see. And the only way to do that is to get involved. And then once I have further communications and we break things down, then we start to peel back the layers of the onion. But in order to see change in your community and where you live, you have to be a part of it.
All right. So how bad is it right now finding any type of police officer who wants to work at the state level, the local level, or, you know, even in these smaller municipalities?
Well, every police department is picking from the same batch of qualified candidates. In fact, there are so many recruitment drives going on for younger police officers, meaning people that have just recently graduated from the academy or yeah. who are set to graduate from the academy, where they're offering all kinds of incentives because they know that you've already passed the requisite training and things like that. So we want to incentivize you coming to my police department as opposed to staying where you are, because we don't have, to use that baseball analogy, we don't have people warming up in the bullpen ready to come in. I mean, you know, to hire a police officer is a year-long process, you know, from background screening to all of these pre-tests and things like that people have to take. So we're now, you know, picking from the same pot. So we have to find a way that we can get young people enthusiastic about joining the career field and want to come out and be a part of change and seeing what, you know, their communities want to see.
So, Sergeant Boatwright, when it comes to that front end of recruitment, we know the challenge is there. But retaining officers to stay, how difficult is it, particularly with you being a union leader and talking to people you know, to get men and women who say, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm getting out of this. Don't even wait for 20 years. Get out in 10 years. How hard is that right now?
So attrition is a natural way of cleansing the internal politics of any large corporation. So we traditionally would see people that were old and disgruntled hit their mark of retirement and then go on and leave and go to do something else. Well, we were always comfortable because we were able to backfill those with right. younger people that are coming into the profession. So now we're now seeing people are not applying for the position. And then you're seeing the older, more experienced crowd deciding to leave. And in some cases, leaving before retirement to just go into another career field. They've gone to school, they've got advanced degrees, and they've decided, hey, you know what, I can put this social work degree to use in another, you know, area, and I can still be servicing my community. So I think, you know, in law enforcement, we have to look across the board and see that recruitment for fire departments across the country is up, and recruitment for police departments are down. So that tells me that people still want to be in the service of community, but how do we balance those numbers again?
All right. Having said all of that, and I understand, you know, Ryan Dorsey's going to Ryan Dorsey.
Right.
That's
right?
I mean, that's what he does. That's his deal. And it's never going to end with Ryan Dorsey. But I mean, I feel like he's an outlier. And I feel that the worm has turned on this defund the police movement. I mean, most people look at it and say it's silly. You have mayors in a lot of major cities now who are putting more money in the budget or trying to hire police officers as much as they can. Do you think this movement is dead, or does it still have an impact today?
No, it still has an impact today because, you know, we're starting to see, like you said, look at Los Angeles, look at Washington, D.C., and other places where they're trying to add the money that they had taken away from the police departments within the last year. They're trying to find a way to add it back because crime is so rampant and out of control. But if we look at our city in Baltimore, you have these quote unquote violence interrupters. And, you know, are they interrupting any violence? I mean, you know, we've gone to all of this ceasefire, and look, those people do great and amazing things. But to say that these groups need to replace police officers, and that's what we've heard for the last 18 months, and we're now starting to see the fruit that, yeah, well, I think we need to make a turn and go back to more of a traditional way of policing and find out how we can constitutionally police our city. Cities are starting to abandon those catchphrases and getting back into to the realization that law enforcement is a key component. And if it's done correctly with the correct leadership, we can actually see a real change.
President of the Maryland Fraternal Order of Police, Sergeant Clyde Boatwright, is on board. And Sergeant Boatwright, when it comes to where we stand with violence, like we know where we are in Baltimore, we're on par with where we've been the last 7 years. But around the country, the rise in violent crime is just dramatic. Do you see an end to this? Because, I mean, until we get more either police officers or whatever, it's just difficult to see how this ends.
Well, it takes the whole ecosystem, as I've heard a great police leader say, it takes the whole ecosystem to work. Police, you know, the court system, the correctional system. If you're going to put people back into the regular population, they have to come back with services. So we're starting to see a lot of people released from custody without receiving the proper services. If police are going to make good cases, get good cases to the state attorney's office and the court system to put away bad people, if we can all work cohesively together and not leave one part or one component outside of the room, like we are now seeing that police are not a part of any discussions. Hmm. This is a mental health approach, and it's a holistic approach. You know, all of that stuff, it sounds good. I don't see the database of mental health professionals, you know, standing on North Avenue in Pennsylvania stopping people from shooting. But, you know, when people take the podium, they make it seem, you know, so great. But let's get back to having everybody working cohesively together, and then maybe we'll start to see a change.
Well, Sergeant Clyde Boatwright, we know you're standing on that wall, and we just hope that the message, particularly as it relates to young people wanting this field, if we don't get young people to look at this as an honorable profession and field, that I really fear for the future of policing, Sergeant Clyde Boatwright.
No, you're 100% correct, C4, in that we have to find a way to incentivize young people and have them excited about this career field and just let them know that, you know, hey, that was a phase in life. I mean, look, we've seen trends in policing, you know, after the Rodney King incident, mm-hmm. after 9/11, and we're now seeing the post-police reform times right now. And so it's harder than ever to be a police officer, but we will have to see a time where our people will get enthusiastic about it and decide that this is a great way to raise your family. Yeah.
The President, Maryland Fraternal Order of Police, Sergeant Clyde Boatwright, the Baltimore City School Police. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. You know, one of the things that Sergeant Clyde Boatwright has been doing for years, right, but long before he was the president of Maryland Fraternal Order of Police, is connecting with young people through his position with the Baltimore City School Police. And I mean, you know, it's difficult when you have somebody that kids know. Mm-hmm. They look at him, they know him, they get to touch him. And then they hear all this anti-police stuff. And it's like, that's not who I know. That's not the Sergeant Boatwright. But yet they're bombarded with this anti-police message.
Yeah. And it ultimately does have an effect.
It does.
And it's, you know, does it have the impact of, hey, I don't want to be a police officer because I don't want to be that guy?
Yeah.
And
it does.
If that's the case, and then it's going to take some time to turn that around. And, you know, do we have the time in Baltimore?
I mean, really?
You know, 350 people murdered every single year. It's not like this thing is going to, like, correct itself quickly when it comes to finding police officers.
But you need responsible leadership, Brian. Irresponsible leadership we have for the most part now. Responsible leadership saying, no, we don't want to see anybody be George Floyd. We don't want to see any Breonna Taylors. We don't want to see any of that. But at the same time, in order for us to let you walk to the store safely, we need to have law enforcement letting people know that if you touch somebody, hurt somebody, you're going to jail. Mm-hmm. And that clarity, that lack of clarity, and I'm going to say, from the councilman Dorsey of the world and others, is what's so disturbing, because they'll be the first ones to call the police. And as a matter of fact, who did Ryan Dorsey, or at least he said there's a horrible what's going on with these cars spinning out and the rest of that stuff.
Right, but he's like willing to allow it to happen in certain places or at certain times.
Yeah.
It's just because it inconvenienced him, because it woke him up in the middle of the night. If it happened in another part of Baltimore, I don't know if he'd feel that strongly about it, right?
Do you remember the Minneapolis City Council people that were the first ones, of course, defund, dismantle, when they were being threatened or whatever, they had the police come and protect them? We talked about this in real time. So it's okay for them to get police protection,
right?
But when it comes to the rest of us, you know, hug it out. Go get a social worker.
Yeah, right.
You know, get a mental health worker.
All right. But in the meantime, we have a crisis on our hands. And it's really twofold now. You've got a crime problem, and now you have a police officer shortage problem, right? And at least most mayors have come to the senses that, hey, we can't continue to cut
budgets. Necessity is what
this is. We're going to have to find people to do. But it's not going to happen. Like I said, overnight, it's going to take years to fill all of those positions. And so what happens between now and then? Do we have more crime that runs rampant because people are unafraid to do whatever they want to do? Or, you know, does this kind of fizzle out like, you know, COVID will ultimately, you know, run its course? Does this run its course? Or do we have years to deal with this higher crime than we're used to seeing throughout the country?
We're going to be joined, everyone, by the Baltimore City Police Commissioner, Commissioner Michael Harrison, tomorrow to talk about kind of where we are, as we're now, like I said, on par. We're just right there, water level, with the last 6 years of nightmare violence that we've had, and talk with him, Brian, about where he stands with recruiting, with retaining officers, and how bad it. We know it's 400 short. That was the last number we had. Is it worse? Did it get any better since last time we talked to him?
So we got this text. You've got rose-colored glasses on, Brian, if you think defund the police is dead. Ryan Dorsey's are in every city beating down any optimism that is out there for the community respecting police professionalism. All right. I agree with you. There are Ryan Dorseys in every city.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that their voices are being quieted. And I think you also are seeing the community talk more about, hey, we want policing. You did have a big vote in New York for the mayor of New York City.
Yes, you did.
Who is going to be a tougher, or at least
he's a cop,
tougher on crime type of mayor than de Blasio. Not going to deal with all the BS that de Blasio allowed to go on in his city. I hope there's more polling in major cities across the country about how they feel about policing and how they feel about crime and what they feel about defunding the police.
What the text is going to, though, Brian, will the elected officials believe that? We know the mayor. We talked about what the mayors are doing. But what about the other elected officials? Look at Annapolis. We couldn't get one thing through the legislative session dealing with violent crime, even though we've been through the hell we've been through here.
Well, then you ought to have candidates that run against them on that platform. Now, I realize in this state, and it's not going to matter if you're a Republican, but maybe in primaries that it happens, because I think people are tired of it.
I do, too. I believe you.
And I really, really think that the community has a different perception of what's going on in this city than what Ryan Dorsey.
It's hard to be a cop today, everybody.
You're listening to the C4 and Brian Niemann podcast. Watch the show every weekday at WBAL.com/video. Now, more C4 and Brian.